Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vincent, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true.
Good thing.
I can't wash this blood off my hands. I can't get the scum out of my soul. I can't scrape this stain off my brain. And I can't get this box out my head.
That's a good thing we don't step in.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, you know, I was reminded, I can't see the world the same way since we started this show 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading about, there was an airplane apparently that was going to Montreal and it got sidetracked and ended up landing in the Ottawa, at the Ottawa airport because there was some bad weather, okay?
Okay.
And it sat there for like 5 hours. And at one point, the power went out and the air conditioning got shut off, and then no water, no food. You know, you've heard the story about planes sitting on the tarmac. They won't let people off.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody called 911. And they didn't, they weren't real clear about what happened. Like, did the cops show up? I don't know. It's Canada, so who knows what they did? They probably passed a law or something.
They were probably polite when they did show up, though, and apologized for being late.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't you know? I'm sorry you had to sit on this plane. It was probably like John Candy showed up. He's like,
yeah.
What? We're being attacked from the air. For those of you that don't know, John Candy was in a movie.
A couple.
So anyway, so the airport, like the news calls the airport, right? And they're like, what? What was going on? And they said, well, the we had a gate open. We had, you know, they call them air stairs, which dumbest name. I mean, what do we call them? We call it the sky bridge.
Yeah.
They call it the air stairs. Like, what is wrong with you people? Can't you come up with a good name for things? I mean, just...
I wouldn't trust walking out on the air. Why would you call it air anything?
Air stairs, sky bridge. Just call it like the platform, you know, platform that gets you on the plane. Anyway.
Right.
So the airport's going, we had, you know, plenty of water, diapers, food, whatever they needed. We keep it in stock just for situations like this. But mm-hmm. we had trouble getting in touch with the people on the plane, the crew, to let them know that they could come over here. And so then the news, of course, then calls the airline, says, is this what happened? And basically they said, our view of the situation differs from that of the airport. our investigation is ongoing, and we look forward to having all the facts and the truth. I'm going, wait a minute. Did you just call an airport, like an international airport, a liar? Or are you saying that they have different facts than you? Or exactly what are you saying? I don't know what... People don't just call 911 when they're sitting on a plane, just for the hell of it, right? Something was clearly going on out there. And this whole idea that you can have a... You could be sitting on a plane for 5 hours without food or water. If I don't eat every 2 hours and 64 minutes, I start to get a little bit cranky. I get so hungry, I get angry, or as I like to say, hangry. I also get so thirsty, I get pissed, or as I like to say, fist.
Fist? Well, it's better than being fisted.
I don't know. Don't knock until you've tried it. Anyway, I thought that was funny. I don't understand.
I'm a giver.
You're a giver. You're a pitcher, not a catcher.
That's right.
So I really don't understand the whole airline industry thing. Anyhow, did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was quiet. which is what I like.
That's good for your life, not good for the show.
Well, no, I mean, we didn't. The summer's coming to an end, and we're just kind of like having family time. Nothing really terribly exciting. You know, I left my son and his brother here over the weekend, overnight. Me and my daughter went to my parents' house for the night, so they could have guy night. So they basically played a lot of South Park on the Xbox and farted a lot. So
did you walk back in and go, oh Lord, what happened in here?
I have done that. I'm like, it smells like Doritos, feet, and ass in here.
In that order. To me, Doritos stink, and I don't know that you have to say all three of those things.
Well, just imagine that compounded. Just be glad you have girls.
I am.
I know they fart.
They do.
But they're not boys.
They're not.
Boys, and if you get like two or more in the same room, man, it's like a barn in your house. And it just lingers.
Go wash your ass and your feet and throw away those Doritos, man. Were they Cool Ranch? Because Cool Ranch, I hate the smell of Cool Ranch.
But they're delicious.
Yeah.
See, my dad used to tell us to go outside and run around and blow the stink off.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you just be glad you have girls.
Yeah. Is it possible that I remember when Doritos first came out? Or is it
possible? Well, yeah, they had totally different bags.
Yeah.
They came out probably in the mid 70s, because that one guy, there was that black haired big mustache guy. I forget, like Artie something or another his name was. He used to be on Match Game all the time. Well, he was the He was, because it was the 70s and we were racist, he was like the Doritos Mexican. And he'd chomp on these Doritos and they'd like make people like, they'd knock their chessboards over and stuff like that. You know. But yeah, I'm pretty sure they came out in our lifetime.
And I don't remember, but I'm wondering if they tried to pass them off as like a healthy alternative to potato chips.
They really just passed them off as like noisy alternative to potato chip, like more noisy than potato chips.
And that's when the term nacho cheese was invented.
That's right.
There's not a cheese called nacho cheese. They just made that up.
Avery Schreiber was the guy. That's a Mexican name if ever there was one.
Yeah, Avery Schreiber. He's a Jew Mexican.
he was the original Doritos mascot guy. But I think maybe a year ago, they put out a retro bag, and it was like the original bag. So that probably means they came out like in 76 or something, that they did like an anniversary bag or something.
So I want to get an anniversary bag of Doritos and a throwback Mountain Dew and sit and watch reruns of Beverly Hillbillies or something.
Have you ever had throwback Mountain Dew? It's terrible.
No, I have not. I have not.
Oh man, I was just talking about this today earlier, because you know how they have, you can buy like Coke and Pepsi that have sugar and not high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, you can get Mexican Coke that has regular sugar in it.
Yeah.
Speaking of
Mexican, well, if you want to be racist, yeah, we'll call it Mexican Coke. But
wait, what? That's what they call it?
So Mountain Dew did it. But the problem with Mountain Dew is because Dew heads are so hung up on how sweet Mountain Dew is, they had to ramp up the amount of sugar they put in that stuff. It's horrible.
Do they call it Mexican Dew? Man.
I don't know what Mountain Dew is. So you say,
man, I ain't doing that work. It's hot out. I don't do like the Mexican Dew.
That's probably, you should work for like a commercial company, you know, like an ad campaign company.
Oh, man. Just don't, Just don't include grape knee-high in that commercial, because then I might say something racist.
Yeah.
Is that grape soda you got there? I don't do like the Mexican do, but I will do some grape soda.
This episode of the Don't Panic Radio Show brought to you by grape soda.
Brought to you by the high fructose corn syrup industry.
It's from corn. It's natural.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
This is the who the hell knows what this episode is about episode. But
it's about that time for us to have one.
Yeah, right? We've had a good run. You know, there was some interaction we had on the social medias, and you mentioned high fructose corn syrup. Oh, it was last week. It wasn't social media. It was the Don't Panic Radio Show. And I was talking about the obesity epidemic, yeah. And you mentioned high fructose corn syrup.
Yes.
You know what? I was thinking, I read that stuff, and I know what's going on, and you know what's going on, and my wife knows what's going on, and people are looking at it going, you know, interesting that the obesity, like, really blew up in the mid-80s, and about the same time that the low-fat craze hit, and the low-fat craze, all they did was replace the fat with sugar, high fruit, and they couldn't pack enough sugar in it, so they're like, let's invent something, like, that packs even more sweet into a little container. High fructose corn syrup comes along and everybody's freaking fat, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I was thinking, well, okay, it's great to complain about it. It's great to like go, hey man, it's the government. No man, it's corporations. It's you know, and you're like, is there a difference anymore between the government and corporations? It's just all one big megalomaximegalon system.
I don't think there's been a difference in quite a while.
Yeah, exactly. But they figured out that if they made us believe that there are two separate things, like the Republicans could be like, the government's terrible, and the Democrats could be like, the corporations are terrible, and hopefully they don't figure out we're one and the same. Corporations.
Welcome to the last episode of the Don't Panic Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. Because the man has learned we figured it out, so we'll be gone any minute now. They'll be the jackbooted thugs will break down the doors. Sponsored by Coca-Cola.
Sponsored by ConAgra Foods.
They're like bulletproof jackets and stuff are littered with all the logos and stuff.
It's actually what is it? What was the corporation in
Dick Lecter?
Dick Lecter. Yes. What was his company?
Lecter Burgers.
Or what was the company called?
Lecter Burger. Lecter Corp probably, or Lecter Burgers.
No, it wasn't burger, because it was a corporation, something corp. CEO of multinational corporation, Lecter Corp. The 30, 40 years ago, the tobacco corporations knew about the dangers of cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
Smoking.
Yes. Yes.
But they were able, through lobbying and everything, to keep the government from doing anything about it. They were also able to keep advertising and keep, you know, the propaganda, public relations. They were able to win that battle, and they were able to win the, you know, regulations battle. Until, and I think, I mean, I haven't seen a movie, I haven't read a book, but what I think I remember is it was the states getting together and suing the tobacco industry, saying, you're costing us a fortune in medical costs, you know, and you should have to pay us. And I think that's what took that, more than anything, took down smoking, because all this money comes in, and they ended up using it for public relations, basically anti-smoking ads and stuff like that, right? So I thought, people complain about high fructose corn syrup and sugar and eating too much, and you know, the truth of the matter is, it is like ConAgra Foods and A.E. Staley and all the General Foods, all the giant food companies, make a ton of money off of this high fructose corn syrup and, you know, other stuff too, processed grains and emulsifiers. And there's just, it's a huge business. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a huge mm-hmm. entrenched interest in keeping making sure business stays good.
And right.
In fact, the USDA, as you and I both know, the United States Department of Agriculture, the reason that they put their little triangle out that says eat a whole bunch of carbs, you know, is through the lobbying of these giant companies. Okay.
Yeah.
So you might go, oh, well, what am I going to do? How do I stop it? Well, what if the states got together, or what if some lawyer that wants to make a bunch of money was able to get a class action lawsuit against these companies saying your promotion of this stuff is causing heart disease, it's causing diabetes, it's causing young men not to get laid, it's causing young ladies not to get laid, it's causing
somehow that's not true.
That's a good point. I guess if everybody gets fat, everybody gets laid. Yeah, good point. Anyway, anyway, it causes bad ankles. It causes, this is, if I were in the mood, this might be the moment when Expanding Mermaid calls in. But we're not going to do that. I'm not talking about body image. I'm not talking about body image at all. I'm talking about health. I mean, there's a thing called skinny fat, which is people look thin, but you do an MRI or whatever, or some kind of scan, and they're just full of fat, and they're totally unhealthy. So anyway,
I thought you were talking like the Beastie Boys lyric about how can he be so skinny and live so fat? No. I think the reason why, or what it's going to take for that to actually happen the way it happened with, you know, with tobacco, is right now, unfortunately, fat people are still the one thing we can make fun of and not be ridiculed about. So until we can take that thing until we can take it seriously as a problem, it'll never happen.
Yeah. Well, it's a funny thing when we in pop culture on social media, memes, politics, it's always people try to make it a black and white situation. You're either on this side or you're on that side. Right.
Right.
One deals with psychology. The other deals with physical health. So there was a stigma about, we were able to develop a stigma around smoking. Right. It became this thing like, oh, look at him. He's smoking. That's bad for your health. And people had no problem telling someone that smoking is going to kill you. Those people were assholes. They still are. And but that contributed to the decline of smoking as well, I think, is the stigmatization of smoking.
Yeah. Well, but we still have it in our heads that when we see a fat guy eating Kentucky Fried Chicken, we're like, oh, well, you know, if you just put down that chicken leg. But the fact of the matter is like a lot of that shit, a lot of the stuff they put in the foods from the corn syrup on up, one of the reasons why they use that stuff is, aside from the fact that it's cheap and easy to mass produce, is it's extremely addictive.
We didn't just invent fried chicken 10 years ago.
I'm talking about like the oils and stuff that they use.
I'm with you, man. No, I'm supporting your argument, as hard as it might be to tell. My point is, if you just put down that chicken leg, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, people ate fried chicken and we didn't have this many fat people walking around, right?
Or hovering around, as the case may be.
My scientific, well, I'd say waddling around. My scientific assessment is something changed in the chicken, right?
Yeah, once you eliminate all the variables, you know.
Somebody will go, oh, you mean chicken's more fattening now? No, but to your point, it's more addictive, right?
Yeah.
And the popular, like, advertising, marketing, everything's geared toward, you know, eating. Well, and here's the other thing. This is the government part. The crops that go into fried chicken are subsidized.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Corn, soybeans, wheat, all those things, that's subsidized. There ain't no big broccoli lobbying the government, getting them to subsidize broccoli, right?
Let's hope not, because broccoli is delicious. I don't want it to be bad for me.
Big Broccoli was my my rap name. I was in a rap musical group. They called me Big Broccoli.
Big Broccoli.
I said, oh, yeah, skinny fatty. That's right. Call me Big Broccoli.
That's right. Well, I'll be DJ Asparagus, too.
So, yeah, I think that it, well, I mean, nobody, like you can go, oh, really? They're doing stuff to make food more addictive? Are you kidding me? Well, first of all, if you're McDonald's and you can get people to eat 1% more French fries, you're making, I mean, that's worth billions of dollars, first of all. Second
yes.
of all,
yes.
if you don't believe they'll do it, the tobacco companies, there's documentation that they did stuff to cigarettes to make them more addictive. So why wouldn't the food industry do it too? And I'm not saying they're evil people. I'm saying they have a goal, which is to make money, and they're good people mm-hmm. who believe their food is not harmful, and they believe that people have a personal responsibility, yet they're making this stuff, like the stuff that's worst for you, they're making it the most enticing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I know what the answer is. The answer is, you know, don't buy that shit, essentially. 3 years ago, we, here at my house, we started changing what we brought into the house to eat. And the overall sense of well-being has improved drastically.
Yeah.
When you eat, well, like, for instance, if the kids would eat like a, well, here's a basic example. One of my kids could devour an entire box of mac and cheese. But if I were to make it for real, you know, which doesn't take hardly any longer than it does to make a box of mac and cheese, my kids will have like a bowl of it and be full. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is you make it so good they want more, and it just keeps coming into your house. Well, that's like a small example. We've gotten rid of like 90% of the corn syrup that has come into this house over the years. You know, and how messed up is high fructose corn syrup that we got excited when we found out they put sugar back in pop. So the basic idea is buy something else. There's plenty of it out there. You don't have to buy Big Broccoli. You know, you can buy broccoli. The problem is it takes a little bit of research. It takes a lot of time because we're so immersed in it as a society that it's hard to get out of. That you could fall down the rabbit hole, as I refer to it as, when it comes to shopping better for yourself and eating better. Basically, you're like falling for anything you hear or read, but you just got to read into it, find out what works, and every time you buy something that's better for you than the shit they pump at you, you're doing two things. One, you're doing something for yourself. And two, you're taking money away from the garbage industries that are pumping food at us. So that's sending a message to them and to the people that are making the better product.
The rule of thumb, like to make it simple for people, the rule mm-hmm. of thumb is stay on the edges of the grocery store.
Outside shopping.
You go in the middle.
That's what I call it. Yep.
Outside shopping.
Yep.
And just because they put the ice cream on the outside doesn't mean that's included in what I'm talking about. But the deli, the fresh meats, the vegetables, the fruits, the all the good stuff is like on the outside. Now, another way to look at it is if you could stay away for the most part from processed foods.
Yes.
So if you really want to get into it, like my wife is sort of like a hobbyist. She just really digs doing all of the research and all this stuff, right?
So do I.
I've I'm of the mind that if you're just, if you're going, okay, I hear you, but I don't have the time and I'm not interested in reading a bunch of books, doing a bunch of research on the internet. So what am I supposed to do? And I'm kind of in that category, except I've got a spouse who's, who digs that stuff. And so I just kind of listen to her, but my brother-in-law's well into it as well. And when they're talking to, their mom about it, it just, she gets frustrated and confused, and she's just, I can just see in her eyes that it's just like, ah, forget it, you know, because she'll she'll say like, hey, guess what, I'm doing this now, and they'll go, oh, that's, haven't you read, you know, blah 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 about that, and then she's just like, ah, forget it, I'll go back to the saltines and, you know, Kraft singles.
That's because Big Broccoli has spent so much money creating smear campaigns against Small Broccoli that it confuses the average consumer.
Or as I like to call it, broccolini.
Broccolini.
Here's how you get past the confusion. This is called Don't Panic. I'm going to tell everybody, don't panic. Every study that comes out pretty much says the same, like reinforces the same stuff. And the arguments are on the fringes. Like,
yeah,
like in the details, right?
Right, right.
It's whole plants, right? Mm-hmm. So whether they're frozen, canned, you get them from the produce aisle, doesn't matter. Get, if you're going to eat green beans, eat green beans. If you're going to eat beans, eat beans. If you're going to, if you're going to eat big broccoli, eat big broccoli. If you want, like you like bread or you like grains, fine. I mean, there are some people who think grains are bad for you. Mm-hmm. They might be. But if you get the whole grains, like if you're going to buy bread, buy decent bread that is whole grain bread, right? Yep. Just always think, and like the, somebody started a store called Whole Foods, and that's what it's about. It's like if you want, you like hamburgers, go buy some ground beef.
Yeah.
You know, make some hamburgers. You don't have to go to the frozen section and buy the patties. You don't have to go, oh, Hamburger Helper, biggest racket ever, right? Because Hamburger Helper is just a box of MSG, salt, preservatives, and some, you know, things formed to look like something, right?
Yes.
Why not just buy some macaroni, like you said? Like, if you like the... macaroni Hamburger Helper, you know, the chili mac or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Make, get yourself some ground beef, boil up some damn noodles, pour some cheese in there, you know, brown the ground beef and mix it together. It's just as easy, you know, just stay away from the middle.
Yep.
Forget the boxes. Don't get the candy bars out of the machine, right? If you get hungry during the day, eat some nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not that complicated. I get that you have to think about it a little bit because it's, well, and I know from personal experience because when I'm not, like, if I'm low energy and I'm just not into it, it's easy for me to stop at a fast food joint or get some crappy thing out of the vending machine or whatever. I get it. But at least that's on us. You know, that's on me. It's not me complaining that, oh, I can't afford it or it's too complicated. No, I know. Everybody knows. Mm-hmm. It's not like you don't know when you're eating shit.
Yeah.
Right? You give your kids Lucky Charms every day for breakfast. You know you're giving them marshmallows and, you know, cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look how much sugar they put in that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
No added sugar, but it has marshmallows.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You didn't add sugar to the marshmallows.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a mess. And so many people just, you know, it's about people just not wanting to, like, take the time, take a few minutes. Somewhere down the line, we were convinced, possibly by Big Broccoli, that we don't have enough time anymore. We don't have enough time for anything.
Yeah.
When in fact, we do have time, and this might be a whole another show one day, we have plenty of time. We've just filled it with stuff that we don't need to fill it with. And Big Broccoli loves
we
that.
We have more time than we've ever had.
Yeah. Yep. And Big Broccoli loves that. So they try to fill our heads with the idea that we don't have time to cook. And the whole one I got one last note. Because, see, I can go off, but I have to calm down. People go, oh, it's too expensive. It really is not on two fronts. One, the upfront cost of eating better is negligible compared to the long-distance, long-term cost of healthcare. Because you ate this shit your whole life, and now you're diabetic, and you know, and everything else. So what are you willing to invest your money in? Really? 50 cents extra for
pay
something?
Now or pay
or,
me later.
Yeah, 50 cents extra now or astronomical doctor fees later. See, I use my, that's my fear tactic. If Big Broccoli can use it, so can I.
Well, I mean, I'm a single dad with like 18 kids living in your apartment at any given moment.
Just about.
You know, you're able to do it. And hey, I applaud, like Aldi is going like really natural and organic and stuff,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Half of Kroger's organic now.
Kroger's is great. I mean, that's my go-to. And Aldi's, yeah, Aldi's, the best thing about them is they have managed to beat everybody cost-wise. So you can't argue cost when you're just arguing. It's like not wanting to learn something. You know, you're trying to talk yourself out of it. You spend more time talking yourself out of something than you do actually just doing it.
Speaking of talking people out of things, how about we take a little break and come back? After the break, and continue the show.
Rudy Tang has a message for the children of America. So you better warp a call to the Bammy, cause the Cammy Town's a pity on the panty stock. Hootie says cigarettes and fast food burgers are bad like net attack. And don't drink malt liquor, cause you don't need to, cause you're okay. Sadate. Also, eat all your vegetables and don't bang.
Snack lovers, have we got news for you. Taco flavored Doritos are even better than before. Announcing a spicy new taste in taco flavored Doritos brand tortilla chips. So when you want a snack that's really
spicy,
try taco-flavored Doritos, now with a spicy new taste.
Sugar to stand beside me, no sugar to run with me.
Chaco says yes, and I believe him when we talk about the things I say. She hasn't got the faith or the guts to leave him when they're standing in each other's way. You're tripping back now to places you've been to. You wonder what you're gonna find. You know you've been wrong, but it won't be long before you leave him all far behind. Cause it's the new Mother Nature taking over. It's the new Splendid Lady come to call. It's the new Mother Nature taking over. She's getting us all. She's getting us all. Chaco said no when I came back last time. It's looking like I lost a friend. No use calling cause the sky is falling and I'm getting pretty near the end. A smoke filled room in a corner basement. The situation must be right. A bag of goodies and a bottle of wine. We're gonna get it on right tonight. Cause it's the new Mother Nature taking over. It's the new Splendid Lady come to call. It's the new Mother Nature taking over. She's getting us all. She's getting us all. Lonely feelings, yes, and I believe him. Inside of the things I say. Find the corner. She hasn't got the faith or the guts to leave him with a hand in each other's way. Silent footsteps out to places you've been to. You wonder what you're gonna find. Sudden darkness. You'll be strong and it won't be long before you see them all far behind. Cause it's the new Mother Nature taking over. It's the new Splendid Lady come to call. It's the new Mother Nature taking over. She's getting us all. She's getting us all.
About some headlines. You can stop eating now, Mo. Didn't work. This first story comes from the world of medical science. Speaking of medical science, first human embryo editing experiment in U.S. corrects gene for heart condition. Let me reread that. That was bad. It was really bad. Bad read. Let's try that again.
Okay. Take two.
Because I started out as if the human embryo was going to do something.
Oh, Lord. Now we got a new caller for the show.
Yeah, human embryo. This is human embryo. This is the first human embryo. Is your name Adam? No. You believe that? Anyway. First human embryo editing experiment in U.S. corrects gene for heart condition. And corrects is in quotation marks.
Of course. That's responsible journalism.
Yeah. This one's hard to misinterpret. I mean, this is hard to irresponsibly interpret because, I mean, it lays it all out there for you. I mean, you've got this human embryo, right? And they're able to edit it to correct a heart condition. Just think, I don't think we ought to be doing this, messing with this. I mean, what if they had done this with Fred Sanford? We wouldn't have one of the best lines in situational comedy history because his heart condition would have been corrected.
That would have been a damn shame.
The big one.
Pop culture would have suffered a major loss.
Right? Elizabeth, coming to see you. The other thought I had is, of course, it's in the U.S. Because whenever anybody says, we have the worst health care in the world, some Republican always pipes up and says, oh, no, we have the best. I mean, look at the advanced medical things we're able to do. And, you know, the Democrats will always go, yeah, but people are dying in the streets. It's like we are correcting heart conditions in embryos.
Yes.
While we're creating heart conditions in grown-ass adults.
There's some kind of one feeds the other thing going on here. You know, they're covering both ends of the dollar bill or something.
Yeah, medical science is like, we can fix these heart conditions. And food science is going, we can create more.
That's right.
We can create them faster than you can edit them.
You fix it, we'll break it.
Yeah. I think it's the pharmaceutical industry. Because, you know, they say if you live long enough, you'll eventually get cancer, right? Sure. And then that's where the money is. Cancer is, like, super lucrative.
Yeah.
And so if you can get people to live long enough by correcting their heart conditions when they're still embryos, you can make a lot of cash on the back end. You have to be patient.
Right.
So that they eventually get cancer. But
yeah, it's like a long-term investment. I think the one bit of irresponsible journalism we can run with is they have corrects in quotations as if to turn that into conjecture. Like, corrects it, folks. Is it? Are they playing God? What are they doing?
Like, what was wrong with it?
Yeah. So the clickbait guys can jump on it and turn it into whatever they want.
You're assuming that there was something wrong with it just because it was causing a heart condition in this embryo.
Right.
And correct, really?
It's
well, what are we going to do next? If a baby is, like, going to be black, are we going to correct its race?
It's only a matter of time. And it's like, all right, so if you put, or if the author, I'm sure the author could have came up with a better word than correct if he has it in quotations, because it's not quite the word he wants. It's like, what kind of writer are you then? You can't find, like, a better word than corrects, you know.
He's like, I'm on a deadline.
That's right.
I just put it in quotation marks.
That's right.
He probably had it highlighted because he's like, this isn't the word I eventually want. So I'll just, like, highlight it. I'll come back and fix it later. And then he forgot. And then the people, like, writing the copy, and they're like, he's got a highlight. We don't really have a highlight font. I just put it in quotation marks.
Do we put that line through it, you know, that's popular? Or...
I would love, if this were a YouTube show, like if we, like we're doing a video, we should have a whole segment on misplaced quotation marks. Because those things crack me up.
you know what drives me nuts more than misplaced quotation marks is the overuse of ellipses dots. People love the ellipses.
Okay. Well, to each his own. So,
dot, dot, dot.
You know, everybody's got different tastes. Everybody's got different tastes.
That's right.
You know, I mean, some people don't like them. Some people like them. I mean, some people think they add, like, an element of drama to the written word. Other people don't like them. So, whatever. Yeah. Everybody's got a different opinion. That having been said, the next headline is a sport comes to us from the sports desk. And it is, okay, brace yourself. Cordell Stewart repeats Ray Lewis's advice to Colin Kaepernick.
I understood almost none of that.
I don't know who Cordell Stewart is. I believe I've heard that name before. He's some sports guy. I do know that Colin Kaepernick has been in the news because he was the quarterback for the San Francisco football Giants. Wait, San Francisco football 49ers. He was their quarterback, but he wasn't that good of a player. Mm-hmm. Or he was. Depends on who you ask.
Quotation marks.
But, you know, he got cut from the team. But before he got cut from the team, he did some political stuff. Like, he didn't stand up for the national anthem because you know, he's protesting police brutality or whatever. Ray Lewis, if I'm not mistaken, and I hope I'm not because I don't want us to get sued by Ray Lewis. I believe he was the guy who was on camera, like, punching his wife in an elevator. Is that guy? Remember that?
Yeah, it might be. I don't remember who that guy was, honestly.
Well, A, it's irresponsible interpretation of headlines. B, nothing you are hearing is true. So I'm trying to figure out why anybody would want to listen to Ray Lewis's advice, let alone repeat it. This next one comes from the entertainment desk. Box office. Dark Tower, Detroit, Kidnap, Signal, End of Summer Slump. End of Summer Slump. Wait, I think I put those quotation marks in. Because here's the problem I had. I read this headline like four times to figure out what it was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Box office. So they're talking about the amount of money movies made.
Yeah.
And they mentioned Dark Tower, Detroit, and Kidnap. Now, I don't know if those movies are doing well or not doing well. But then I read Signal End of Summer Slump. And I was like, there was a summer slump in movies? And now those movies
not
are
that I was aware like, of.
And ending the slump. And then I read it again. I was like, maybe it means like there's a slump because it's the end of the summer and these three movies aren't doing well. And it signals that there's a slump at the end of the summer. Not the summer slump is ending. All right. You know what? These people that write these headlines, they deserve to have them irresponsibly interpreted.
That's, you know, it's only fair game.
No.
Until they listen to our show and they realize how bad their headlines are, things will never change.
It's true. Maybe we could get a class action lawsuit together, or the states could sue.
Yes.
Big headline, or whatever they're called, big headline writers. The Headline Writers Guild. Because it ain't the same people that write the articles.
Clearly it is not. I've said this before. I think that there are people that just write headlines. And writers come along and probably pay them for the headline they want to use. Because they're too busy.
All right, who wants to write this story?
Or, well, as we've said before, most articles aren't even written anymore. They're like these weird Mad Libs that they just spew out some facts. And so the whoever is in charge of that website, news magazine, pays somebody to write headlines, and then they just stick them on where they... Like what were those... remember those things we used to get the little pictures of and you'd scribble it onto like a piece of paper and peel it up and it'd be stuck on there? Remember those?
Stencil?
No, you could buy like a sheet, yeah, like some kind of rub off thing. It'd be like a sheet of like animals and spaceships and shit, and you just rub it over wherever you want it, kind of like a tattoo. I don't know, my analogy is going nowhere with this. So
I did a lot of rubbing off when I was a kid.
When you were a kid,
you know, in the day when you had good headlines, it'd be something like President Trump, or probably not, that's not back in the day, but President Kennedy and Chairman Khrushchev met in Vienna to discuss high-level talks to curtail nuclear proliferation, right? Now it would be six easy secrets that the nuclear industry doesn't want you to know about.
Right.
Or this secret that nobody else knows about will scare you to death.
Yeah.
Click here to learn more.
The reason they do that, I think, is because they really have nothing to say. How can you produce a level of information that we have today? There can't be that much more stuff going on today than there was 20 years ago. So they have to sensationalize it to get you to click on it.
So Dark Tower is based on a Stephen King novel, he wrote under a pseudonym. Don't remember the name, the pseudonym name, but it's a whole series, right? Dark Tower was one novel in this whole series of stuff. There's like nine novels in this series that.
Well, it gets even even crazier than that, because at the end of the Dark Tower series, you find out that all of his books are connected. So essentially,
yes,
it's part of his entire writing career. He retconned himself into himself.
You know, I was talking to a guy about this last night, or the night before, don't remember which. It's been a long time ago. And he was telling me about it, and he said, yeah, he said he weaves, like, there's a lot of, you find out, like, all of his books kind of are connected. And then I go, so he's, like, creating a universe, right? But he's not J.R.R.R. Tolkien.
Right.
Right? He's Stephen King. He's more prolific than Andy Wright. I mean, when we joke about Andy writing 9 novels in 6.5 days.
Right.
Stephen King actually does that.
Right. And it shows.
I was reading, so there's this Red Storm Rising, okay, is a Tom Clancy book. I consider all these guys the same guy.
Yeah.
Stephen King, Tom Clancy, James Patterson. It's all the same stuff, right?
Who's the guy that writes all the lawyer books?
Is
John Grisham.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a certain guilty pleasure in reading these things because it's kind of entertaining sometimes. Like, I read one or two of them before after having a few whiskeys, and they weren't bad, but they're so convoluted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like there's so much, and they're like trying to make their money from the plot twists, and they're being really sensational. They're all writing to try to get a book, or yeah. I mean a movie.
Right.
To try to get a movie from their book,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So infuriating.
Yeah, and personally, I think...
I don't think I've ever read a Stephen King novel.
I think he's the most overrated writer in the history of writing. He's... I have friends whose opinion I value highly that love Stephen King. And I, when they say that, I gotta question my love. Because I don't... I've tried numerous different books of his, different stages of his career. It all reads like so much fluff. And a buddy of mine put it perfectly. He said, Stephen King writes like he's getting paid 5 cents a word. And I'm willing to... I mean, it's horrible. I don't know how the hell he got so popular. He's just the worst.
So Superfan James will probably come on. No, he's not. Superfan James is a good guy. What are you talking about? Because, you know, he liked a rival, as did I. And now that you're bad-mouthing Stephen King, maybe he's a big Stephen King fan. He'll come on.
All right. I don't know.
How about Kidnap and Detroit? What are those movies about?
I hope they're not the same movie.
Any idea?
Because nobody wants to get kidnapped in Detroit.
That's two different movies.
I don't know. Oh, Kidnap, that's the Halle Berry movie, so I'm going to avoid that one like the plague.
You don't like Halle Berry?
I think she's a terrible, overrated actress.
Damn, dude. She won an Oscar or something.
Yeah, and it went straight to her head.
She was nominated. She had sex with Billy Bob Thornton.
Nah, I don't think she's very... But, you know, everybody's opinions are different, I guess. I just think she's completely overrated. Detroit. I don't know what that's about other than possibly Detroit.
That's a pretty good guess right there. What about Atomic Blonde? Are you looking forward to that one?
Yes, because that has my favorite African-American actress in it.
So you prefer Charlize Theron to Halle Berry when it comes to African-American actresses?
Absolutely. She's a good... Okay, here's how. Here's why. Charlize Theron was in Monster... And then she was in
Atomic Blonde.
She's a chameleon. She's just so good. I know I've seen her in a better movie.
She's like my leadership style.
Yeah, exactly. What the heck was she in that I really liked? Well, she was in the new Mad Max movie. That was pretty good. But no, Atomic Blonde, from what I can gather from the trailer that I've seen, Atomic Blonde is the movie that they should have made Black Widow from the Marvel Comics movies. I think Marvel and DC are probably looking at that going, shit! You know, we hemmed and hawed and told everybody nobody wanted to see a superhero movie about a girl. And then, of course, Wonder Woman comes along and reminds everybody, yeah, we do. But by then, it's too late because Atomic Blonde is out. So Marvel's like, well, what do we do now? They can't do a Black Widow movie now. Which is a shame.
They're like, can we put a woman in Spider-Man? No, but you can do What's the Marvel version of Justice League?
That would be the...
X-Men? No.
That would be the Avengers, which they've done.
The Avengers, right, right. Was there a woman in that?
Black Widow.
Oh.
Yeah, she was so insanely popular.
I am not keeping up tonight.
No, they were, and she was so insanely popular, but fans wanted it, but the studios went, nah, no one's going to want to see it. Because nobody goes to see a movie about a woman. That never happens. Oops, Wonder Woman.
Hmm. Speaking of women, one bonus headline. Sofia Vergara poses nude for a magazine cover. And she's 45.
Hang on, I'll be right back. I had to run to the store real quick. What not to get it.
The thing that caught my eye on that one, they didn't have a picture of her, so that didn't catch my eye. I was like, where do you get off? She's 45. Why is that a, like, whoo?
That?
You can't pose nude if you're 45. I'm like, what?
I know. Isn't that insane?
It's insane. Like the whole trend, everything's moving toward women's careers are getting longer because they're, you know, through nutrition, exercise, modern medicine, you know, they're holding themselves together longer. Men are living longer. Everybody's living longer. 40's the new 20, you know, 50's the new 30. And then they come along with this headline, like everyone's shocked that a 45-year-old could pose nude on a magazine cover. Are you insane? Why is that shocking?
Because those magazines are probably run by 20-something people.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like someday, I swear to God, I know you're going to think this is paranoid, but I swear to God, someday the world's going to be run by frickin' people who are born after 1995. Seriously.
Yeah.
You ever met anyone born after 95? I mean, all due respect to my niece, who was born in 1996. But still.
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it? Now, this is exactly what our parents thought, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but they were wrong. About us.
I was going to say, except they were wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, I haven't achieved any of my dreams. I don't know about you.
But, I'm living the dream. Are you kidding me?
There you go. There you go. That's the attitude.
That's how I get to sleep at night.
All right. Well, look, listeners, every once in a while you get one like this. Where clearly nothing interesting has happened over the last week. We did come up with a few good headlines. And you know what? Fear not, because my good friend Paul can work magic in the editing bay. So he may turn this one even into a pretty good show.
I'll do what I can.
Chapter 2 of the new Aleph is out. So go on over to either Worlds of Mibar or the new Aleph and of iTunes. Hey, here's some exciting news. You can go over to, I listen to Radio Lab and Freakonomics. And they're always talking about how you can, you know, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. And for a long time I've been thinking, we're on iTunes, so if you have an iPhone, you just go over to the podcast app, search for us, you'll find us, and subscribe, and then you'll get all the new shows automatically. Or you can go to Podbean and subscribe over there. You can go over to don'tpanicradioshow.com. You go to YouTube. But I was thinking, if you have an Android phone, don't they have something similar? They do have something similar, and it's called Stitcher. So all you got to do, there's an app called Stitcher. You download that app on your Android telephone and you search for Don't Panic Radio Show, and I got us all hooked up over there, man. So now we're on Stitcher.
This portion of the Don't Panic Radio Show brought to you by Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. ER.com. All right. That having been said, thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for following us on all of our various places you can follow us. Paul, any last words?
No, I got nothing. Other than I got to hurry up because I want to get on Google and look for those images.
Sophia Vergara, she's 45. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Benson. Thank you for listening. Remember, nothing you just heard was true.
What a time.